listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we've got a fun CarCast episode for you today. We're going to give you a little update on what's going on at the Ford Mustang assembly plant. And my good friend David Jesko is going to come in. He's going to talk about my BMW M3 and all the nerdy stuff he's got going on over there. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Dodge, the Dodge Charger. If you hurry into your local Dodge dealer, where they bring you performance, technology, and great deals. It's the Dodge Big Finish event. And this holiday, our gift to you is Dodge Power Dollars. With Power Dollars, you'll get $10 off for each horsepower of every new car, every new Dodge Charger, every new Dodge Challenger. You can get a 2019 Dodge SRT Hellcat Red Eye and receive almost $8,000 cash allowance. You know why, Dave? Because it's 797 horsepower. Ooh. That's why you'll get almost 8,000 off. Mm-hmm. So you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event today and end the year with a great deal. And of course, our friends at Geico, we love them. Everybody's got a to-do list. Maybe you're doing some Christmas shopping, some Hanukkah shopping, some holiday shopping, some New Year party dresses.
More fans for BMWs?
BMW fans. You got a big list of things to do. Well, you can add this to your list. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. All right, guys, big show. Let's get started.
Fantastic.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I am Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and he's Bill Goldberg. How you doing, Bill?
Ho, ho, ho. I'm ramping up for Christmas, man. You know, Santa's got to do his thing, so.
Getting ready. It's the clock's running. We're getting closer and closer to all that.
Yeah, and unbeknownst to everybody, I'm also Hanukkah Harry, so I've got to get going here, you know, before Christmas.
Okay.
Hanukkah festivities too. So
that's right. You got to do it both. Duty. Yeah, got to do it both. I saw that you were in town briefly filming new episodes of The Goldbergs, the sitcom.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was a lot of fun. It's always nice to come back and join my quote unquote Goldberg family, being the only Goldberg on the show. it was great, man. We had a good time.
It seems like it's good time. It seems like you guys have fun over there all the time when you get over there and do that. So, right on. I can tell you that we're just starting some initial meetings, planning our next big CarCast live event, probably going to be March of next year. We will be back at the Peterson Museum. We had such a good time last year. Had a big car show and gave out some awards, and Adam did a 10th anniversary ACS podcast. But this year will be CarCast podcast. And hopefully a bigger car show and more awards. And we're just going to work out all the details. And hopefully, Bill, you're going to be out there for that. And we can do a major car cast and get the three hosts all together once and for all. And so we'll see. I know March is quite a bit away, but also it's much quicker than you think. Like from now, you're like, oh, there's so many things. It's like we got the holidays, we got New Year's, and things that come up between now and March, and but also like if we don't start planning this now, you know, 4 months in advance, that it's never gonna happen and get things aligned. So that's kind of what we're planning on. So Bill, keep that on your radar to see if we can find some available date and that makes sense in March. We'd love to have you out here for that. You know, and if it, you know, makes sense that you're able to tie it into, you know, you come to LA, you're doing different TV shows and filming and things like that, it'd be great to build it all in one trip so you can get as much done as possible. Efficiency.
Yeah, I'll talk to the guys. I'll talk to the writers at the Goldberg and NCIS.
Well, listen, it's
I'm doing NCIS in January, so maybe they'll have me back in March.
What I'm saying is like pepper it in their head going, hey, we've got a big CarCast event. We'd love for all you guys to come out and check it out. And since I'll be here for a day or two, let me know if you need me, right?
Well, that's how it works. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, just let me know. And also have them come down to the car show and maybe they'll have some fun with it as well. And I don't know if you have any cars left in LA, if you intend on leaving a car in LA at some point, but you should bring something. Otherwise, we're going to have to call Dodge and say, send something over.
Well, let's just say we're going to have to do that. But, you know, I get a demon that's probably going to be in the Magnaflow corporate headquarters here, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after it gets back from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so we could have, you know, we can ask them and see if they want to bring it up and have Richard Waiters or something bring the car up and display it. And I'll bring the truck out there. Maybe I'll bring the truck and the M3. Speaking of the M3, I'm going to give you guys an update. That's the plan today, is to give you an update on that. We're waiting for our buddy David Jusko to come in and hop into the studio with us. He's my buddy. He's been working on the car. And he's a super nerdy engineer. I think that's a pretty fair explanation. what'd you say, Chris?
Dave. That's perfect.
Like detail-oriented beyond, like, to almost a degree of annoying.
He sat in the back seat of my car once, and he said, "Your license plate's too loose. It's deafening." I heard nothing the entire time, and I drove around the block a few times just to hear it. I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I bet he was right, too. So maybe we'll get a little update on that, and we'll take it from there. So a little bit of news. Of course, I've got some Tesla news because you know how much I love Tesla news. But
please, more and more and more.
But I'm just going to get that out of the way because I'm trying not to harsh on all their stuff too.
Hey, just like a true media outlet, we just provide the facts. We're not opinionated. We just have to provide facts. So please go along with the facts of what happened with Tesla again.
so Tesla's most recent accident was a guy was driving in autopilot, right? Which isn't really a real thing. Like, autonomous cars aren't really quite there yet. It's not really a real thing. And the fact that they're calling it autopilot is dangerous.
False advertising.
It's more like lane keep assist with a couple of other cameras. Anyway, so this guy was in his car. He puts on autopilot, and he leans back to like check on his dog or get his dog situated. And what does the Tesla do? It smashes into a parked cop car. It smashes into a parked cop car.
But here's the kicker. I was up early this morning in the morning news shows. Mm-hmm. Are obviously going to cover it, you know, to its fullest extent. And they showed two clips of people in L.A. traffic freaking sleeping at the wheel.
Yeah. This is not an autonomous car, guys. It's not an autonomous car. It's awfully dangerous. This is the 12th investigation that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is looking into Tesla accidents as a result of their so-called autopilot. I'm just saying, guys, listen, fan of Tesla or not, if you own a Tesla, I'm sure it's got some cool features and it's fun to sit around in the 405 and try to have that thing drive for you. But please be careful. Don't be eating like a bowl of soup or some cereal while you're doing it. And certainly don't fall asleep. If you want to use the feature, of course, use the feature. Have fun with it, whatever. You know, but be careful. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt anybody else. And don't hurt a dog sitting in the back seat, right? So, just be careful with that. But anyway, that's it. That's all I'm going to say about Tesla is just be careful with the Tesla. Here we go. It's a little bit of Mustang.
I think each week we ought to do a Tesla update because they're providing us with so much information.
So much information. So much information. Yeah.
But this is how they advertise, correct? I mean, they don't want to kill anybody, but...
That Cybertruck...
This takes bad publicity as good publicity to a level that I don't believe is correct.
Yeah, and that Cybertruck was meme gold, right? Like, that thing was just posted everywhere. And whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, it's just posted everywhere. And it's getting so much publicity as a result. I mean, people are joking with it, but having a lot of fun with it. I mean, we certainly could do a Tesla thing every single week, but we don't need to do that. And to our
point, you know, how many people do you have conversations with that joke about that Tesla story, about the Cybertruck, and then say, "Oh, but I've got a deposit on it."
Right. So here's the thing. So right now we're getting into, you know, the end of, you know, for us, the podcasting season, you know, for the year, and we're getting some holiday parties in here and there. And yeah, every single holiday party or dinner or event or something I go to, somebody has Tesla questions. Like, what do you think of Tesla? What do you think of the Cybertruck? What do you think of this? And what do you think about batteries and longevity? And should I buy or should I lease? There's tons of that stuff. And they're all good conversations, and we should do more of them here. And some of those stuff we want to get into with Alistair from Edmunds as well, because he's got very strong opinions. The guys at Edmunds have very strong opinions about battery technology and their recommendation. I think you've heard him say before is anything battery or hybrid, lease the car, don't buy the car, because we have no real future. We have no idea where the batteries are going to go and how do you replace them, or what's the shelf life or the resale value. If you get a Toyota Prius and it's used, how much battery's left? And then what? And then if you use it for another 5 years, can you do it? But before we get into that, first off, David Jusko just walked into the studio. Hey, David, how are you?
Hey, Jim.
David is David's an engineer at Toyota. And
field engineer.
Yeah. And like we said before, he's just a big anal retentive nerd. And we love that about him. So we are going to chat with him, not about Toyota.
We've actually heard you're very loud and boisterous. And
yeah.
You like to command the presence when you walk in the room. So just please do us a favor and hold it down a little bit.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Quiet down over there. So actually, we invited you here to talk M3, not about Toyota Prius. But before we get in that, one more quick Ford update. So Ford has invested $250 million into their Flat Rock assembly plant. This is the assembly plant that builds the Ford Mustang. Mm. This is a big investment for them. They've got a lot going into the Mustang brand, the Mustang platforms. And 2021 is going to bring us an all-new Mustang, a ground-up all-new Mustang. But a little update is, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of the current generation Ford Mustang Bullitt, where the Mustang GT is 460 horse. The Bullitt is 480 horse with revised throttle body and some calibrations, and it's got revised like Gen 2 magnetic ride.
I remember seeing magnetic ride at Rod Millen's shop a million years ago.
Yeah, developing it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you guys have met before, Bill.
HRE.
Down at the HRE open house when we interviewed Richard Waitis down there and the HRE guys. So big investment on Ford's part. And as much as we love the Mustang Bullitt, it's a perfect example of getting, you know, like Porsche has like a 911 and an S, and they have a GTS, right, and then their turbo. The GTS I always thought was sort of the most bang for the buck for Porsche models. Macan GTS, 911 GTS, Panamera GTS. The 911 GTS is the best bang for the buck because it comes with the center lock wheels off the turbo S. Not even the turbo.
Yeah, it's more enthusiast than an all.
Yeah. So the Mustang Bullitt kind of, to me, felt like it fell into that world. And in the Adam Carolla world, who's not really a fan of pretty much American cars or whatever, he drove the Bullitt when we were here, and he actually likes it. He's a fan of it. He's like, you know, between the 6-speed transmission, because it has a Tremec in it. It has an upgraded Tremec to handle the extra power. And the MagnaRide, he's been a fan of it. So the Bullitt was meant to be a limited run for like a year or two in the current lineup. Right. And what we understand now is next year they're bringing back the Ford Mustang Mach 1. Now we had one in – we had one – the new Edge body style, we had a – a Mach 1 with the shaker hood scoop on it, which was functional, by the way. So what I expect is the new Mach 1 to have a lot of the power and suspension and all the features and the big brakes and stuff of the Mustang Bullitt, potentially with some sort of shaker hood, would be kind of cool. And they'll probably run that for a year or two before it phases out and the new Mustangs come out in 2021. Well, so I like the Mach 1. I think it's going to be cool.
What was the Mach 1 option package back in the day?
So it,
what differentiated that?
So instead of the normal like 4.6 liter mod motor, it had the Mustang Cobra motor in it, a non-supercharged version of the Cobra engine, which was, I think at the time was
like
305.
I'm talking way back in the 70s, though.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know, like a 351?
Bill, you've got the Cammer, right, and everything from the old...
Well, he's got the lawman. The lawman.
70 lawman, so Boss 429.
Yeah. I mean, technically, technically, Marcus Angel has it, and Bill just owns it. But
is that how that works?
Hey, I got 4 updated pictures today, dude. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's nice.
I got ownership back.
There you go. That's a nice little update. But yeah, Marcus Angel, he's doing a great job on it, but he's had it there for a while. The thing is,
I know what that feels like.
We're going to get into that.
It's all good. I don't have a garage to put it in.
Neither do I.
All right, so we're going to get into some M3 stuff, but before we do, let me tell you guys about Dodge Durango. It's the Dodge Big Finish event, and this holiday season, our gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. So hurry in and end the year with a great deal on a new Durango all month long. No matter where the season takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. Because when you're in a Dodge Durango, you're behind the wheel of a performance-driven SUV. And whether you're rolling out with friends or family, you'll be able to fit everyone in Durango's 7-passenger seating capacity. So this holiday season, Dodge's gift to you is Employee Pricing Plus. That means everybody gets the same price as employees do on a Durango. Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event today and end the year with a great deal. All right. Thanks, Dodge.
And so, if you're lucky, you'll get a Hanukkah present from Santa Claus himself.
There you go.
Coming Saturday.
I don't know that Santa Claus delivers Hanukkah presents, but sure. I like where your head's at.
I've seen some commercials
with
this guy.
Santa's got such a packed schedule this year. He's taken off a little early. Mm-hmm. And I know at least one person that is getting a pretty damn good gift on Saturday, and that's all Santa can say.
As a result of the big sweepstakes that you guys are running with Dodge, this is what I love about that sweepstakes is I talked to you on the phone or texted you, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? You're like, Dodge is coming to the house to shoot a commercial, a series of commercials. Like 9 days later, they were on the air and on social media. And we ran the campaign for like 5 weeks, and now you're already delivering the prize. You're delivering like the prize. Like this whole thing just happened quickly.
Yeah, what was unbelievable to me was it went at the speed of sound. But you know, I got back from Saudi Arabia the next day. We shot, and then 24 hours later, the commercial was up.
Yeah,
the latest installment was up. So I mean, these guys went above and beyond getting this out. The content was great. Ubinette, obviously, unbelievable driver. But these guys in the editing room got this stuff out, you know, unbelievable.
And kudos. In the world of the big machine, when you have ad agencies and social media agencies and creative development teams and production crews, how quickly they turned this whole thing around. It actually went really well.
Well, they probably just got out of their own damn way.
I'm just saying, yeah, that's all they do is they probably just started eliminating meetings, and said, let's just do it. Yes. And they got it done. So anyway, it's a cool event, cool sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. And I've been going around, and people are like, hey, how was the year? How was the show? How was everything going? And I was like, you know, everything went really well this year. We love and appreciate the sponsors, so bear with us with that. Those are the guys that allow us to bring this show for free. And one of the things I really enjoyed this year was being able to give out tickets to racing events. And the fact that we gave out to NASCAR at Bristol and an IndyCar at the Laguna Seca and NHRA in Pomona. I'm hoping to do that again next year. I'm also reaching out to friends at Trans Am. So if you want to go to a Trans Am race, we'll probably get you to something really good like COTA or Watkins Glen. And,
well, and also let's get, you know, requests from the listeners as far as what series they'd like to go to. I mean, all we have to do is reach out. There's no question that NASCAR wise that I'll reach out this year and get, you know, a number of more invites, a number more sets of tickets.
Yeah.
NHRA, we can do that at any time. We ought to do monster trucks, and, you know, we ought to run the gamut. You know, these listeners have been good to us, so let's be good to them.
You know, one of the things I'd like to do is let me see if I can get you guys a couple of tickets to Long Beach Grand Prix. It's a great event. I'll be there.
That's where I met you.
I will be there as well. And our friends from Acura sponsor the event and IndyCar. And maybe I can get you a meet and greet with our dear friend Simon Pagenaud, and you can ask him why he broke Ricky Bobby's arm.
Ooh. It is an injury of ignorance.
Okay, so a little bit of backstory on the M3. Dave and I have been friends. We've known each other for years. We met when Adam Carolla was racing in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race in Long Beach. Bill's done that as well.
Yeah. Actually, my friend Mike was your guy, Bill, a long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah, a very good friend of mine.
Mike was the handler for Bill's car.
Yeah. Yeah, he said you were an absolute pleasure to work with, too.
Except I'm pretty sure Bill broke his hand that day.
Thank you, and I broke my –
you did scare the hell out of him at some point,
I broke the gearbox. Yeah, you pulled the damn shifter off. My arm on the side view mirror.
That's right. He broke his arm. He got angry at the car.
It was a push.
Car bit back.
Yeah. The car broke a gearbox. He punched it in the face, and problem solved. And then Bill was like, I think I broke my arm.
That'll learn you.
That was miserable. I never had so much fun hurting myself in my entire life.
It was a great event. So here we are almost a decade later, and we were all meeting to go to Long Beach Grand Prix last year, April. And on the way, the M3 broke.
I started acting up, but it got
no.
I was stretching its legs.
Yes.
In the carpool lane on the freeway with a friend.
Yes.
And it didn't like that. So it started shutting down and going to some kind of limp mode. And I kind of limped it over to Long Beach Grand Prix because I didn't want to miss our
– That was after already having a problem with limp mode. Remember when I found all the wiring up at the ECU back? Actually, I think when Adam's still in the car.
Yeah.
Where the thing was shutting down on you. So when you said that, I'm like, crap, I thought I fixed it.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I thought you fixed it too.
But then I found a whole other problem. But anyway, keep going.
So it started running like shit, and it wasn't staying running at all. It was kind of on and off, and eventually I got it out of the parking garage at Long Beach, and I got it onto a flatbed.
I don't think it was cool. You made the girl push the car, but
Tammy pushed the car a little bit. Yeah, but I was in it with the radio on, going, push harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Like, come on, it's not going to get itself on a flatbed. Yeah, put your back into it. And
could you imagine me driving and having Wanda push?
Yeah,
photo op.
I don't know how that goes later that night. I don't know how that goes for you, but
not well.
Probably not well. No. But anyway, so that happened, and I called up Dave, and I'm like, hey, Dave, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know, going to bed. I was like, I'll be right over with a flatbed. we dumped the thing off into your driveway in the middle of the night. Flash forward to December 17th. Mm-hmm. And the car's in your driveway.
Yes.
We had a few issues. Yes. First of all, it started several issues, but the crazy one was, for some reason, it was firing a coil like day and night, basically. When you started the car, it wasn't – obviously, when you need to fire that plug, when the engine rotates, each spark plug needs to fire, and the coil on plug fires it. And one of the coils just kept going, whether it needed spark or not.
Yeah.
And it was
– I think what happened was I pulled codes out of it and stuff, and I noticed that it was having communication malfunctions and stuff like that. When the key was on, it was cool. It would go for a while. It would run. Then it would start acting up and running weird. And then it would set a P0604 as an internal ECM malfunction.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Everybody knows P0604. Come on, Dave.
So I was going through process with diagnosing that, because really there's not too much you can do in that case, but it's just kind of a matter of trying to figure out what was correlating. So it was a time-based type thing. And so at a certain point, you know, I know that the ECU had been modified
It's got a built engine. It's got a supercharger. Right.
So I pulled the ECU out to before that, let me back that up a second. So I knew I had internal ECU malfunction code. And so while I was sitting there with the key on just to see if it made a difference time-wise, whether it was running or not, because you've got to break these things down, you know, bit by bit in diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So after like 3 minutes of sitting there with the ignition on, I'm like, why do I smell phenolic, which is like burning like plastic and stuff and electrical. And then I see smoke rolling out from underneath the hood.
Did you run inside, quickly grab s'mores?
What I did is I pushed it far away from my Supra.
Yeah, right? No,
actually, I... Yeah.
Get the car away from my Toyota Supra first and then put out the fire.
Well, so it was starting to smoke and everything. I said, holy crap. So jumped out of the back and, you know, I had the forethought to already have the battery terminal loosened and stuff. And I popped the battery connector off, and when I pulled the valve cover off, the number 6 ignition coil was just completely melted.
Yeah.
The top of it. So, now those were the coils that you had replaced.
Yeah, they were all new.
A while back, somewhat new. So I knew they were somewhat new. So I went through, and this thing was a wiring nightmare before. When the great story of when we were doing some wiring on it. Do you remember? And we had a holiday party or something that I was going to. It was Halloween, I think.
Oh, yeah, No, you were going to a... You're meeting your sister?
It was my sister for a charity event.
Yeah, it's like
and
a charity. Like it was a fancy wear a suit holiday party.
Yeah, it was like, oh, get all dressed up, Bill. This is, I don't know if you've ever had this look before, but the car is, the hood's open. The front of the car is, there's wires and stuff all sticking out.
Yeah, bumpers off.
Bumpers
cover,
off.
And the whole
tools
thing's apart.
Everywhere. And I think I would have probably had less of a reaction if I was on top of another girl than this one. But I was actually had tools in my hand. I look up.
Covered in grease.
And Condi, my girlfriend, comes walking up the driveway.
Dressed to the nines.
Dressed to the nines, ready to go to this party because we have to be there and meet my sister a certain time down San Clemente. And she sees me.
Covered in grease, holding tools.
Actually,
we stand there.
And
and her first reaction was to say, hey, Matt, would you like to come with us?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I bet she was really appreciative of that. Yeah.
She didn't say anything. She just went inside.
She just looked at me. Her eyes got big and just went into the house. And I'm like, I swear I'll be ready. And I just...
listen, that look was like in Kill Bill when they go,
that was not good.
Yeah.
Well, so it was great. I just remember, like, if you know me, like, in the middle of a job, I'll stop and I'll clean up all my tools and stuff like that so I have a clean work environment and everything. I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I had to kick everything under
kick
the garage.
Kick everything
door.
Under the garage.
Kick under the garage.
The
just
door.
Kick in the garage. Just go. And he was like, I could take a cab. I'm like, F it. You know, I just crimped some wires together real quick. You know, actually, the car was running at the time.
He actually
drove it out. And I'm like, get this thing the hell out of here. And just kick everything under the door, close the door. And ran into the house, showered, put a suit on, everything, was out the door in 10 minutes.
Okay, but then what happened?
So
you got there.
And I got there and I freaking beat my sister
beat
by 20
sister
minutes
there.
Exactly as I predicted.
Exactly right.
So
yeah, in LA, everyone's late.
It worked out.
So it worked out fine.
It
was funny because I don't think Condi said a word the entire time there. And then the fact that you still beat your sister there had sort of like a little bit of redemption factor.
Yeah, no, it did. Because I was just like, what did I tell you was going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Just like,
and.
Oh. I know. I'd get a little hot under the collar for nothing.
No, she's 100% right. I promised her I'd be ready.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm telling you, I'm serious. I think I probably could have got less reaction if I was actually on top of a girl.
Somebody else. Well,
she caught me in bed. But anyway, so.
All right. So one of the issues that we found with the car was the guys that built the car were constantly doing some sort of fine tuning and experimenting.
Right.
With the tune for this.
Right.
So there's sort of two ways they can go at it with the BMW is they can take the computer, they can take the ECU, they can flash a tune into it and not really crack it open or do anything.
Right.
And another way to
but
do it.
That's all got to be, you can't do anything live. It's all take note, right. Take data, go back, change a correction, flash it back in.
The other way to do it would be to crack the box open, like weld in, like solder in a chip that you can kind of plug in and live tune so you can manipulate it on the fly.
Right.
It sort of makes it like an R&D box.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we found was we had this R&D box in there, but the pieces used to assemble it, the chips and stuff, were like really crappy, very foreign, non-German.
Well, one of the big actual problems was there was the solder that they used was actually not the right solder for the board, and so I had to correct a lot of different things on it and stuff on the board. But there's some stuff that was kind of a little drilled out and stuff, and I did the best, and I'm pretty good with fixing that kind of stuff and soldering and everything. I used to do it, growing up with my dad and everything, and so I went through and tried to fix it, but it just really, really wasn't making me feel good about it, that it was actually corrected. If I remember correctly, it did run the car again.
It did fire it up.
But it did have a dead hole and stuff. And so I'm like, I don't want to have this problem again. At the time, I went and grabbed some different coils from the guy. And I still had a problem and stuff. So I said, we just need to get rid of this ECU. He already tuned it and stuff. And we just need to get another one. Because how many times is like the third ECU in a stupid car and stuff? So
yeah, and really because each one was being set up as sort of a live tune ECU. So we started with an unopened box, not a new ECU. Yeah. They're all used at this point, but we found a clean, unopened, still sealed ECU, and then just flashed a tune into it. So nobody opened the box, nobody changed solder, drilled holes, did any modifications. It's straight from the factory BMW. ECU.
Right. So, yeah, and that ECU is a different style one too. So I got it enough so that the ECU would reliably stay running and stuff like that on the bench. And he was able to extract the calibration out of it. And then because it was a different box, it was a Bosch box or a Siemens box, they had to go and convert a few things and a few tables over and stuff. And so he finally got that completed and done. And then during the whole time, I had been repairing all the other wiring and things like that.
Right. So there's a lot of like waiting as this is going on. Find an ECU.
Yeah, I could have
moved
the forward.
ECU, and then flash the ECU. And so as all of this is happening over the course of several months, it kind of, I don't know, gave you the opportunity or forced the opportunity to snoop around under the hood, look at cooling issues and wiring issues and electric fan issues and relays and fuses. And because we had other issues, we had cooling issues.
Yeah, and the brackets and everything for mounting stuff were just not done well. And
we were melting wires on fans for some ungodly reason. We don't know why. It was just like the wires were heating up. So just pulled everything out and kind of started over from scratch and cleaned up all the wiring.
Yeah, I just had to pull back all the insulation on stuff and find where things were tapped into, remove some wiring. I mean, everybody had been in there. I'm really, really crazy anal about how I do my wiring and everything like that. So, I took out all solder joints and stuff like that. Even if someone had, soldered something to it, even though the wire's cut, I removed that, properly shrunk it with, adhesive shrink tubing and made everything waterproof, thought about everything as I'm going through, if something was touching this or that, it just fixed everything that I possibly saw that was going to be an issue.
And we got rid of, little crappy over-the-counter butt connectors and things like that. It went to all like Weatherpack connectors and just did everything the way it was supposed to do.
Right.
And so where are we now? When do I get my car back?
You can take it back right now.
You should have taken it back.
So yeah,
the day after you dropped it off.
God, I wish I had a tree to jack so I'd fall on it. But I got the fans and stuff all mounted in there. We got nice Flexolite with a digital control box and everything like that that goes on temperature. That was the other thing too with it is that as soon as you turn the key on, it was always live with the fan. And so the fans were always running all the time. And so when you're cranking and the voltage goes down, it's an inductive load, current goes up, blah, blah, blah.
So now we're running a computer on the fans now.
Right. So now we have a dedicated digital
computer. Which people can buy, by the way. Flexolite, Dorelli, they all make like a smart fan controller. Right. So when you turn on the car, it basically has relays built into it now as well.
Yeah, it's just transistorized basically.
That's it. When you turn on the car, it kicks the fan on at about 50%. Mm-hmm. So it does get some air going. It's basically right. a soft touch startup. Right. So it doesn't shock, you know, the system.
And it allows for the air conditioning and stuff. I tapped into the AC and stuff.
There you go.
So when the clutch comes on, it turns on the fan automatically.
And when the engine heats up and you need more air, you're sitting at a stoplight, it turns it up to 100% and then it backs it off when you don't need it. So it's a less wear and tear on the fan.
Easier on the car.
It's easier on the car. It's quieter. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have to run a 3,000 CFM fan all the time, it's just going to run a lot quieter.
Take care of that. The intercooler mounting and stuff like that, there was like probably 30 holes in the bumper with stuff. So I wound up actually kind of, you know, patching up some holes on it, putting some nutserts in there so it bolts into one place. You know, finally fixed the bumper, how it's mounted.
Mm-hmm. So the intercooler. So this has an air-to-water intercooler, but with a big heat exchanger,
in
like a radiator.
Cast manifold.
The manifold, the supercharger blows into the manifold that attaches to the throttle bodies.
Right.
And in there is an air-to-water intercooler. Right. But that water needs to pass through essentially a radiator like you would on your car with your radiator. Right. So there's a heat exchanger, looks like a little radiator, mounted in the front of the car. And the way that was mounted, it was a mess.
Yeah, and the radiator cross support, the radiator support was all hacked up and stuff like that, and so I had to make new mounts and stuff because it's got the new radiator with the Ron Davis radiator in it and everything, so I had to make mounts for that and mounts for the condenser. And then because they cut out all the support for where the hood goes and stuff like that, I had to actually figure out like how to mount that to the front of the car and to radiator support so the hood shuts and it shuts flush and everything.
Now, the other significant thing is when you put a supercharger on your car, it's very important how the air gets into the supercharger.
Yes.
And what was on there currently was this terrible old like flex hose, like brake ducting hose, but it was kind of smashed and crimped in places.
It looked like it got run over by a truck.
Yeah.
Literally.
And you did a little experiment that we bought a bunch of stainless tubing and some 45s and some 90s and whatever, and you did some cutting and welding.
Yeah,
and
so I fabricated an intake charge pipe, which I'm really proud of because
it was so tight. I have no idea how you got it.
It's an eighth of an inch from any contact point. It snaked it through perfectly and then have a big 9-inch long filter on
I'm running on the front of the BMW. If you remember some of the pictures from back in the day, it doesn't have the stock bumper cover. It has a CSL bumper cover. And on the driver's side and the bumper cover is sort of like one hole in the bumper, almost like a brake ducting, probably about 3 inches in diameter. And that's basically where the filter is mounted. So it's right in the line of fresh, cold air. And no kinks or dents in that tubing all the way down.
Yeah, so I got that in there, mounted it in.
That alone probably is going to be adding about at least one PSI of boost.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know how the hell that thing made any power in the last one. I mean, it was atrocious. So once I got all that stuff done, I actually finally fired it up and drove it, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Drove it 2 days ago, and it felt really strong.
It felt
a little north of 400 horsepower to the tire, something like that. It couldn't hold the power through first gear at all. It would just incinerate the tires. So it was running really well. And then I'm trying to work on the air management through the radiator because they removed everything. That car's got a lot of ducting in it from the front bumper. Goes up through the cowl behind the radiator support and then around the engine and everything. And people don't realize how critical that is, including the underpan between the radiator and the radiator support on the bottom and everything. And all that stuff's gone. I mean, they cut everything out. So I drove it around. It felt great. I've got the fans come on at like 160 degrees through thermocouple and the radiator and everything. And then while I was sitting there talking to Matt saying this thing's run like a champ, I'm like, why the hell is it 204 degrees?
Yeah.
Why is it 208 degrees? Why is it 210? And if I crack the hood open, if I just pop the hood open, it would actually reduce the heat and come back down. So there's something going on, I think, flow-wise or something. I don't know when they put the engine together. You know, sometimes if you use the wrong head gasket, I don't know enough about that particular engine per se to say if there was any kind of cooling passages, stuff like that, but it's acting like there is a flow problem or something. So I need to start.
Just give it back to Matt. Give it back to Matt. Crack the hood and tell him not to drive over 70. And
just leave the hood off.
Just leave the hood off, or just drill a bunch of holes. Get like a 4-inch hole saw.
There's speed holes. Yeah, in the Simpsons.
just drill holes in there.
Matt comes and he goes, why are there 400 louvers in the hood?
Yeah, problem solved. But listen, We're experimenting a little bit as well on the truck this weekend. This is kind of important because, Bill, you're so many of your cars are supercharged now, and you're talking about doing something on your truck, on your new Ram. Is where you're taking in air
makes
from the outside
the
makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, my God.
And, when I had this weekend, we posted the video from Banks. When I had the Ford Lightning over at Banks and put it up on the dyno.
Oh, I saw that. Was that that was the old video?
Yeah, that was the video from a couple of months ago. They finally got around to editing
it. Oh, that's cool.
And it's a terrible supercharger. We knew that. It's 25 years old. It's got 100,000 miles on it. It's just a big heat pump. But right under the hood is the open element filter. And a lot of cars have this. A lot of like these so-called cold air kits or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just an open filter under the hood. And putting it on the dyno, so I've got the Banks iDash gauges in there.
Yeah, that's super smart.
And what those guys did is they hooked up temperature gauges and air density gauges. I have an ambient air temperature gauge. So I have a gauge.
With humidity, relative humidity. And
everything. I have the gauge basically in the front of the grill. It tells you if it's 60 degrees outside, that's the ambient air. Mm-hmm. And then I have a temperature gauge right before the supercharger at the inlet. Past the filter, between the filter and the supercharger. Mm-hmm. So that's the supercharger inlet temp. And then I have the supercharger or the compressor outlet temp. It's on the pipe between the supercharger and the throttle body. And then I have a manifold temp. So that's the air going into the manifold. And what
no
you're
coolant
seeing,
temperature. But he's got that. I know.
It's like you got a modern fit. You have a modern Fitbit for your vehicle.
I really do. It's basically what the iDash is, and what I'm seeing is almost double between, more than double between the ambient air and what's in the engine. So if it's 60 degrees outside, I'm doing over 120 degrees in the engine.
You're
this is a
work.
Non.
You're doing work to it.
It's non intercooled. Supercharger. So,
with old compressor technology.
And because you can see all this stuff in real time, every time I stop at a stoplight and there's no air going through the grill,
watch it start creeping.
You can start to see the ambient air stays the same. Mm-hmm. The compressor inlet starts to increase.
Temp starts going up.
The charge temp goes up. So this weekend, I just sort of experimented a little bit and got from our friends at Spectre and K&N. Mm-hmm. It's like an aluminum canister with a filter in it, and it kind of hides the filter in there.
Well, remember,
and hooked up some tubes to get air from outside of the vehicle, and it consistently drops the overall temperature, the engine temperature, about 15 to 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. So just the engine alone, just sitting in the engine compartment, the filter is sucking in hot air, and it's adding at least 15 to 20 degrees.
Well, you have a little bit of room to go into the sidewall where the fender liner mounts and stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you did it right into the wheel well.
I did it into the wheel well.
I gave you a bunch of crap about
I did it into the wheel well for now, just sort of to see it. Plus the wheel well is sort of a high pressure area to see if it creates some air in there. And it is making a difference. It's probably going to get a little dirty, but this is all temporary because we know we're going to swap out the engine and everything else later. But all I did was just sort of some before and after testing on taking that filter from underneath the hood and closing it.
Well, it's funny, Bill, when we were here before, we're looking at it, trying to figure out where we can bring air into on this thing. I'm like, well, we got to take this, this washer bottle and stuff off of the thing. And so, I said, pull all this stuff out. And he's like, well, what are we going to do with the radiator overflow? And I'm like, come on, I'll show you. We walked into the back of the studio there, walking around. And I'm like, there you go, and put my hand down in a trash can.
Yeah,
and pulled
got
a water bottle.
I knew it.
Yeah, we got a water bottle.
Where you were going.
And so what we did is the big radiator overflow tank is also shared with the washer fluid reservoir, which the pump wasn't working on the truck anyway. I'll go around to fix it later. But for now, we just needed to clean out underneath there.
Well, the other thing, too, is
– and I moved the batteries to the back.
Oh, that's right.
So now the other side, the battery tray is still there, but now I've got that as well. So listen, the difference between just moving from – an open element filter under the hood to a non-open element filter under the hood is about 15 to 20 degrees. Now imagine if we did some sort of intercooling system on it as well and pulled another, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 degrees off of the whole thing. And if we were 20 degrees above ambient temperature in the motor and it was 60 degrees outside, the difference between getting 80 degrees in the motor and getting 120 degrees in the motor is huge.
Oh, yeah. And the thing people get, too, is, you know, they think that they're going to, you know, with the cold air intakes and all that stuff, you know, icing and all that stuff, there's a thing called residence time. And when air is flowing through something, it has only a certain amount of time that I can actually transfer the heat over. So cooling it, you know, having it under the hood and putting ice and all that other stuff on top of it, there's not enough time for it to actually change the charge temperature and stuff like that. Where the air comes from, the original, the source of it, is everything. So you can have, you know, like the people trying to insulate the pipes and all that stuff. It doesn't really do anything in real life. Where you're getting the air from makes all the difference. So putting that out there is really super beneficial, especially when you have a very inefficient compressor.
Yeah.
So that would make more of a difference on a supercharger like you have than it would on an efficient supercharger with air underneath the hood would.
Yeah.
The difference between, like, so if you had both a new supercharger and old supercharger, the old one will benefit even more because it's very inefficient at doing work to the air.
Yeah. And the compressor itself, that inefficient supercharger, is creating heat. You can see it because, like I said, we're monitoring because of that I-dash. We're monitoring ambient air and then pre-compressor and then post-compressor and manifold temp. So I can literally see on my gauges every step is like another 20 degrees hotter. You know, until it gets to basically double in the engine. So anyway, I love the data. I love the diagnostics on it. Couldn't do it without the Banks I-dash on there. And we got two of them in there now, so we can monitor a bunch of different stuff. I did measure the supercharger pulley, and it is technically supposed to be the 9-pound pulley. But according to my gauges, just flat out on the freeway, like I can't get more than 4.5 pounds out of it. And I just think...
the belt slipping, or?
And so I tightened the belt this weekend. I think it helped. I was getting it about 4. Now I'm about 4.5. There's definitely something wrong with the transmission not shifting at wide open throttle. There's a solenoid issue, I believe. The other thing it may be doing is it may be starting to float the valves at the higher RPM because I'm not getting much more than 4,500 RPM. Like, it's got a small cam. It's a truck cam, so it's not going to get more than 40-something hundred RPM anyway. But it might be kind of floating the valves about then. So I might be just losing boost off of it. So I don't know. Like, I'm curious. I don't know if I want to dig into this because we're going to do an engine swap. And I'm wondering if we just did a valve spring swap, would it fix something? So it might be interesting.
Float valves, you'll really know it.
Yeah,
when stuff starts happening at that. I mean, you can have Bill punch the dash. I mean, that might do
something. Yeah, I can do that.
You want to do that?
I'd be glad.
Okay, there you go.
As long as the airbag doesn't come out, I'm fine.
Well, you could do it from the passenger seat just in case. Just in case. Anyway, we're going to have to wrap things up here, but I appreciate you guys hanging with us and getting into sort of a nerdier, more technical version of CarCast today.
I go way more than this.
You're definitely going to have to come back.
Next week, we'll have an update on a Dodge truck because your boy Josh took me to the Expel headquarters up in San Antonio, and I'll be picking that up this Thursday, and then it heads over to Blackjack Speed Shop.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Right, yeah, building out the Dodge. He got himself a Dodge pickup truck, but he's going to put a big-ass Whipple on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard, hey, I heard that last show.
When you put that big Whipple on there, it's all about that intake tube into the Whipple and where you put that air filter. I'll tell you that right now, especially.
God, please. I learned more than I need to learn.
You may not be feeling it now, but once those Texas summers start to kick in, it's going to make all the difference in the world.
You need to watch the YouTube video that Gail did on the Superchargers.
Yeah.
Because he gets into the Roots brothers and where it all started, and I'm not that kind of way.
Yeah, he probably knew. He probably went to school with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I love Gail, but he's 100.
Oh, no, man. Remember, when actually first met Gail here, you'd think we had our Toyota Hydrogen cell vehicle here.
Yeah.
We talked to him for an hour and a half out in the parking lot. He loves new technology.
He does. He loves new technology.
He's awesome.
He really is.
He's a plethora of knowledge.
Every time I get with him, I learn so much from him. So I appreciate all those guys helping me out and running some diagnostics. By the way, all of this is just so we can talk about it here because that whole engine is going to go. It's going to pop out. We're got the whole engine building.
The whole thing with the supercharger is really, really down the line of all this stuff that he's doing with the manifold pressure and stuff. You know, and so I think there's a ton in it. In fact, when you guys go over to back with the car again, because we want to rig up some kind of intercooler, I want to be there. I want to come over there and hang out with that.
Yeah, that's some plastic PVC pipes and duct tape. We're going to make an intercooler.
I'm going to make it work.
It's going to be fantastic. All right, guys.
Sounds like a party, boys.
Thanks, man. We're gonna wrap some things up here. We appreciate you listening. Is this the last show for the year, Chris? So we're not doing next week?
No, we're not going to. Well, we'll do a best of next week.
Best of next week, and then so we'll see you in January?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then we're going to have good updates on Bill's truck by then for sure.
And have a happy holidays, everybody. Keep the rubber side down.
Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it. What a fantastic year of podcasting and all the interaction that you guys give me on social media. I love that. Tell us what you want to hear next year on the shows. Tell us what kind of guests you guys want. Tell us what races you want to go to.
Tell us where you want to go, what races you want to go to.
And by the way, not just races. We'll come up with something else. If there's you want to go to a Barrett Jackson auction or if you want to go to a Good Guys show, let me know and I'll try to set it up. I'll see what I can do. Because all those guys are fantastic.
We know
a few people that know. We know some people that know some people. And if you like this, guys, we appreciate the nice review on iTunes. And you can follow us all on Instagram and Twitter. Definitely follow us on Instagram over the holidays because I'm hoping Santa and the good Lord brings us toys. And we'll be posting more pictures of that stuff soon. And I posted the video on my Facebook page and it's on YouTube on Motorator channel. On YouTube, it is Gail Banks' channel, or if you just on YouTube search for worst supercharger ever, that's the name of the video, worst supercharger ever, and you'll see my video with Gail Banks, and we get into the initial dyno testing, where we made 8 horsepower.
And Chris, who did Podcast One hook us up with those wonderful goodies?
A butcher box. Stay tuned. We'll be talking about that
as well. We got boxes.
Big shout out to them too, man. They're awesome. That was a great surprise, and greatly appreciated.
I just had their pork tenderloin.
And I already
last
ate
night.
All of it.
Seriously, I just last night got made pork tenderloin.
Yeah, I got a freezer.
It's amazing.
I got a freezer full of chicken and bacon and ground beef and all kinds of meat. And I sent a photo to my girlfriend. I said, look at all this in the freezer. She's like, that's the most amount of food you've ever had in your freezer in your life.
Well, how many times have I called you and all I hear is you making eggs?
Just eggs. All I do is make eggs. I just make eggs all the time. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday. Have a great new year. We'll see you next year. We love you. Thank you again. Until next time, Dave, you got to come back.
Oh, sure.
Until next time, keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.